Welcome to The Unlabeling Effect, where three distinctive women daringly dive into some taboos with the intention to normalize the uncomfortable yet vital conversations. We are ready to embark on a journey of self-discovery with comrades like you.
Let's commence on this week's episode. Are you an introvert or an extrovert? The early 1900s was a period in which the field of psychology was developing as an independent discipline. During this time, Carl Jung proposed core ideas in his exploration of personality, which we covered the previous episode, including the constructs of introversion and extroversion, suggested that the interest of the introvert is directed inwards. They think, feel, and act in ways that suggest the subject is the prime motivating factor. Extroverts, on the other hand, direct their interest outwards to their surrounding environment. They think, feel, and act in relation to external factors rather than the subjective. In reality, most of us exhibit qualities of both and fall somewhere between the two. It is common for society to prefer extroverts because they're relatively more predictable and warm and outgoing. So is it true there is a better personality trait here? I'm your host, Vivian, and with me today are Mel and Rita. Hi, ladies.
Hello.
Hi.
Do you guys have any memorable experiences where you dealt with these two types of people and the experience was just very different?
I think you kind of mentioned some of those adjectives earlier about feeling more welcomed, have more attention. I do think extroverts are better at making people feel stimulated. I probably would have interacted with both, but I definitely would spend more time with extroverts.
So you're naturally drawn to the extroverts.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. You know, like extroverts can also be subdivided into introvertedly extroverts, right? So, and vice versa. So this is just a really general summary.
Rita? You just attended a networking event. So let's hear it.
Exactly. That's the interesting thing, that it doesn't cross my mind that whether the person is introvert or extrovert, definitely the organizer and also the host of the event are extrovert. Their gestures are bigger, they're louder, they laugh more, and also they stimulate or initiate conversations by jumping from group to group. And they always get the attention and focus because they're pretty assertive in their conversation and putting their points across.
Okay, maybe it's a bit hard for you to tell at a networking event because it's the first time you met them. But how about if you think about your circle of friends, not Mel and I, remember the first time you really met them?
Yeah.
With your understanding of them now, have you realized or recognized a pattern of yours that which one give you what kind of experience? And maybe
I think I quite like extroverts because they know how to ask me questions, and I'm so bad at small talks, and if they could initiate and bring me across at their face, then I would be able to form meaningful relationship and start asking more questions, initiate more conversation once I get comfortable with them. You know, I could observe two main types of extrovert. One type is like ultra extroverts. I don't know whether it's intimidation or I just couldn't get the outer hyper vibe from them, that I don't usually want to connect with them because I think it's a bit too much and too overwhelming.
It hits one of the point is that introverts kind of have a lower threshold towards stimulation. It's relatively faster for you guys to hit that threshold that, okay, this is enough stimulation and I have to go home and recharge. Do you think that in some scenarios, introverts and extroverts do complement each other, but at the same time, they would totally clash? How did you try to solve it?
I would say I'm an extrovert. I mean, no doubt. but I've also met and been in the same room as what Rita would say, ultra extroverts. When someone is like, whoa, like, you know, just so much energy in your face, I cannot handle either. I would prefer to step away and just like have fun like somewhere else in another space. Like it could be still at the same party, but I know that I would also feel very overwhelmed if I'm not in the right mind space sometimes. But I do have to say, I feel like I appreciate introverts being like a great receiver and a great listener sometimes. See like great qualities in those people.
Mm. Now, speaking of being a listener, I think there's a clash. It was between me and Vivian actually. Like because I really like listening to people's story, what happened in their life. I just love that. But when I do that, I don't give as much of a response as the other person would expect. Sometimes Vivian would actually tell me that I really need more than this regarding your response. Sometimes I couldn't feel the reassurance or even I don't think you are actually listening, maybe. But for this, I think we have a bit of clash. And sometimes I might feel a bit pressurized to respond in a bubbly way, but that's not in me. So I would feel a bit uneasy at some point.
I do want to touch on building deep relationships and whether extroverts and introverts are stronger or weaker in that sense. Responding to my conflict with Rita, I guess when two personalities are so different, the only thing that you can do is to check in with the other person. That's it. And that's why when I ask you, like, are you listening? Do you want to listen to it? And the other thing I can do is to voice out my needs. Maybe sometimes I need more, especially if you feel that I'm very excited about something. Like I would want to feel that you're happy for me. I want to feel that you're excited and pumped, you know? And I guess that would be, at least from my point of view, the way to express your expectations. There's a very interesting concept called a bit of connections. When two people are interacting with each other in the course of 10 minutes, we provide more than 200 bits. What does that mean? So for example, eye contact. If I look at you, I expect you to look at me. So that is one bit of connection. So there can be different body language, tone of voice. For example, if I am in this high pitch, I'm like, I'm so excited this happened. Like, I can't believe it. And in some subconscious way, I expect you to at least respond to this instead of just sit there, you know, like that's,
like,
that's,
oh, okay,
cool, good for you, you know. That's not wrong. Like, that's just you, of course. And I respect that. But I'm just saying that in bits of connections in terms of releasing and responding or even receiving, I would genuinely say that introverts are a bit weaker in that sense.
That's why it's good that you voice it up so that I could at least understand and know the point of view of extroverts.
With introverts, you probably need to spend more quality time together and try to understand how they prefer to be appreciated and approached.
There's this person that I met for the first time. I think she's very, very cool. So I would start to, you know, message her and like ask her out and try to build a friendship with her. She actually is very happy that I texted her, but for the whole time, I feel like from my point of view, I'm the one putting the effort. And it's kind of taxing if it's a long-term thing. So eventually I'm more laid back, but that is also something that I find it a bit hard to
maintain, maybe?
Yeah, to build relationships, I guess, because we all have different expectations in relationship, right? So if an extrovert think that, oh, friends should see each other maybe once every month, and then an introvert, like in the extreme scenario, oh, I only need to see you a year and I still think that we're good friends. So that is already the expectation misaligned. The extrovert would need to take up more responsibility in initiating conversations, ask the other person out, spend quality time together. And correct me if I'm wrong, Rita, I just think that sometimes it's quite tiring for me to interact with introverts.
Well, I think introverts speaks less and not as engaging only at the initial stage, though. I think as Mel said, once you know the skills to help her or him pass through the phase of getting know you and being comfortable around you, I don't think introvert is necessarily gotta be a person who speaks really less or being very cold and stuff. It's just that she values more private personal quality time than in a loud social setting.
I think Rita is so right. I think it's knowing how to create an environment that both parties would feel comfortable. It's not that easy. I mean, there are different levels of introverted behaviors.
Kind of reminds me of how I try to put myself out just to, you know, have some stimulation as well as making myself comfortable. I would just utilize the tool alcohol. It's impossible for me to go to a party without consuming alcohol because I know that I would not be a fun reader if I don't drink.
I want to understand you a little bit more towards party settings because it's not the first time that you flack this up and you said sometimes it really makes you feel very uncomfortable and you would avoid it all at once. Do you want to get to know new people and you're just scared or you just don't want to socialize at all?
I think it depends. For example, right now I'm in a new environment and I know that there are like certain groups of people organizing party or dinner party or some just meetup. I just sign up because I really want to know, have or even establish some social ties here or know some new people. But for some gathering, I just don't think I want to be there because it's exhausting.
So you're trying to act like an extrovert when you're not an extrovert.
Yeah, and alcohol brings that side of me and that's what I would enjoy, only that 2 to 3 hours. Then I really have to go back and recharge myself on my own.
But what forms that expectation of yours to behave like an extrovert when you're not an extrovert?
It's actually ties back to what we mentioned earlier, is that extroverts want to have reciprocation as well from the other person. Like, I don't want people keep on giving and having all the energy put into the party, but and I'm just standing there like not receiving the energy or not giving back even. You know, I think that's, I don't know, if I feel like that's a duty of me as a participant maybe.
And that exhausts you and drains your energy.
Yeah.
Let's shift the gear to the workplace. How different we approach to problem solving skills and, you know, like decision making skills.
I actually love working with introverts at work.
Same.
I feel like they're more, I kind of don't want to generalize things too much, but I just have one dear ex-colleague and now very dear friend. She was just amazing at her job because she doesn't say much. She works really hard. She always pay a lot of attention to details. Whenever she actually voiced up and say something, you know, like it has a lot of key takeaway from whatever she would say. That's the beauty of working with introverts. But I guess there are also so many levels of introverts because I've also worked with introverts that they won't voice things up. And that means if they have something that they're not sure about, they won't ask questions. And when they don't ask questions, that means that they might do things wrongly. So I think it really, as a leader or as a manager or, you know, as a colleague, I almost feel like to a certain extent, there's a duty to learn how to communicate with different characters.
Yeah, I mean, it's so hard to generalize. It's true because even extrovert and introvert, they don't really have a standard way of work or even embrace the same standard of work ethics. But I do agree that introverts kind of work more and talk less. That's what I like as well. But an extrovert is really good in presenting though. I mean, they engage the crowd in a way that some introverts couldn't. Like, they just have the charm to bring the presentation alive. Because, you know, if you have done all the good work and you couldn't present it in a way that could received by the audience effectively, it would be pretty sad, you know, because the beauty or the merits of the work couldn't be delivered. That's why in a team, we need both of them.
I cannot agree more because with extroverts, especially like the leaders that I've worked with before, I think one of the advantage of having extroverts in the team or even as a leader is that if you want them to help you to voice something up or you have an urge that something needs to be expressed or exposed, those extroverted leaders are more likely to voice things up for you because they probably also have a sense of duty that they need to show or express that need.
I guess we're discussing the introverts and extroverts in the extreme spectrum, just to simplify our discussion here. But we don't mean that introverts do behave a certain way. For example, Rita said extroverts will engage the audience more when it comes to presentation. I do see a lot of introverts delivering amazing speech. It depends on how aware we are, like no matter introverts and extroverts, and how much effort we are willing to put in to fill those gaps. Maybe we phrase it wrongly, or I phrase it wrongly, that there are strengths and weaknesses. It's just that maybe extroverts find it easier to network, to present or talk to people, and introverts find it easier to get into deep thoughts and think critically, like who we want to achieve, who we want to become, to fulfill that goal of yours. So now we have a better idea on like which type we are. But do you guys find yourself in some scenarios you would act the opposite spectrum?
An example of me acting less extrovertedly is when I can read and sense the room that there are enough extroverts to hold the great energy in the room. I quite enjoy just like stepping back a little and enjoy being less extroverted.
I actually resonate with your point so much. I do also experience a sense of duty sometimes if the room is so quiet.
It's just that I feel like the role of maintaining or, you know, making sure that the energy is flowing, like I can leave that to someone else.
Or extroverts. I guess for extroverts, at least for me, I always want to make sure that everyone feel welcomed. So if I see someone sitting there, or if I see Arita there, like trying to drink herself to be an extrovert, I would go and rescue her and be like, hey, how are you?
What about you, Viv?
Actually, especially recently, I'm not sure if it's because I started therapy. I do find myself shifting and changing a lot. I used to be the type of person that I would go out at least once a week, whether it's a date or whether with friends, family. But then lately, I am very comfortable in minding my own business. I do prefer being on my own because my mind is so occupied by all those reflections and thoughts. It's a tough question to answer.
You know what I think? The reason why you feel like you're so occupied and you genuinely appreciate so much of your personal time right now is because you're going through a self-discovery journey that requires a lot of self-love, me time, energy. Perhaps if you rethink or at least visualize how you would want to be once you've come out of this reflective exercise.
That's a good question. Okay, now I have more clarity. I would say if I am picturing myself totally healthy mentally, and I'm not sure when and how or will I ever achieve that stage. I hope so. But it would be maybe more extroverted.
That you want to be more extroverted?
I think it's just me. If I'm being 100% healthy, maybe like not this stage. This stage, I'm still experiencing some doubts, or I'm still working through a lot of problems. Thank you for asking that question.
You're very welcome.
We talk about the best self-image all the time, right? And then we're constantly working towards those. Do you guys find any traits of yours that you want to change to the other spectrum? And you find it really hard to do that?
I think the thing that we have been talking all along is me trying to talk in a lighthearted manner. Even in presentation, I would really want to achieve that because I just participated in a conference and presenters could do that. And that makes it easier for audience to sit there for longer and focus for longer. That's something that I really should learn, but I'm still struggling to. And I actually went forward to talk to one of the presenters and she told me it come with time. Like you have loads of chances to do that. Don't hesitate to sign up. Perhaps it's just a 3 minute thesis presentation. Go for it. Like put yourself in a situation that you could practice so many times that you're so at ease in speaking your mind on the stage. So yeah, I mean, once you have to be so comfortable to an extent that you could make fun or make joke by things that just pop up. Because I remember in the conference, literally there was a thunderstorm that just happened during the time of the presenters talking. And he was like, thank you for the effect. I know I did a great job. That's kind of thing that I would really want myself to grasp.
Mm. Hey. So it's almost like a sense of humor and loosen up a bit. Yeah.
How about Mel?
There's one quality of mine that I would love to work on, which is that sometimes extrovert, or at least for myself, I'm so used to, I guess, like, you know, stand up for something or voice something up when I feel like there's an urge to do so. Perhaps I need to work on being less hot-headed sometimes. That would mainly be in the context of being in a heated conversation or in conflict with someone, because I know that that's something I'm not great at managing and dealing with. Mm. So perhaps learning how to be more calm at those scenarios would help me to become a better extrovert. But that would also mean there's a quality that I can learn from introverts more.
It reminds me of a fair that Mel and I attended last year in November in 2021, hosted by Talking Mental, an NGO based here in Hong Kong that promotes mental well-being and aims to educate the public on what it really means and what support we have. There was a workshop where it really made me understand how bad I am in listening, like deep listening or active listening. I would regard myself as an extrovert still. The thought process is just, it's just like sparks everywhere. It's almost like a natural tendency for me to catch on one thing that the other person says. And I would want to respond to that with the aim of having a flowing conversation. And I'm not sure if it's because my experience in PR and I need to do that for a living. It just slowly weakens my listening skills. And that would hinder me from understanding or truly understanding the other person's point of view. Till this day is so hard.
Me too. I struggle with it sometimes. But I think it's not just a quality that extroverts have, though. Probably introverts, some introverts will also have the same problem of theirs. Active listening is not easy.
Okay, one last question before we wrap up. What do you think is the one thing that we have to start with in order to learn or understand the other spectrum more?
For me, patience is really key. It's a big one. I think everything starts with patience and openness. I mean, sorry, that's two words, but to have the capacity and the patience to understand the other person's story and really have the openness to know their characters.
Mm-hmm. For me, it's communicate. I think that's the biggest word. Even is the needs of a reassurance or respond from an introvert, or introvert doesn't want to engage in some setting, like communicate to find a common ground that both parties are the most comfortable to interact in a way that they could establish a meaningful relationship without compromising the inherent characteristics, I think.
Mm. What would be your word, Viv?
I would say respect. I would say respect that people is internally wired very differently. We operate differently. When you have the base of that, then it goes to what Rita said, communication and then patience and learning the other person. But I guess there are two main key takeaways here. First of all, is really not to behave like someone that you're not. Like if you're an extrovert, you can think that introverts are cool, but you don't need to force yourself to act like one. Vice versa, it will only drain you even more. Not only respect other people, but respect yourself, what qualities you have. The second one would be awareness. Not only you can spot what kind of strengths and weaknesses you have, but what the other spectrum has, and work towards the synergy that two types of people can bring to the table, whether it's in personal relationship or in the workplace. That's all for today's episode of Are You an Introvert or an Extrovert? Join us again next time when we talk about what makes people charismatic.
Thank you for tuning in, and let's continue the conversation on Instagram at Unlabeling Effect. Please subscribe to our podcast on Spotify and iTunes and give us a rating. Until then, dare to feel, dare to be real.